Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Bill Michaels Show on the air. Good Wednesday to you. Everything is clear and nice and starting to warm up and feeling good and looking good. I'm liking it. Liking it a lot. And glad to have you as part of the program. Thanks so much for taking a listen to us. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. If you would like to chime in on the program, feel free to do so. You can get a hold of us always on Twitter at @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels, or at Radio Joe Sports over on the Facebook fan page, all that kind of good stuff. You can track us down there. BillMichaelsSports.com is the website. That's BillMichaelsSports.com. Also, don't forget, it's the Radio.com app. If you're going to be traveling, if you're moving around, if you're in an office building and you don't get it continuously, then you may want to download the app, and you can find us there as well. It's that simple. All you have to do is put in the search column, Bill Michaels, and the show pops up. So, Brewers take a loss last night. We'll talk a little bit more about that coming up here in just a little bit. Today on the program, I'm going to talk with Burke Griffin, sports director for WFRV-TV, CBS 5 in Green Bay. Also, Seth Everett, our National Baseball Insider, is going to be here, and more Packers chatter with Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, coming up later on in the program. But Tom Silverstein wrote an article talking about Brian Gutekunst, who is he done? Is it basically saying, is he going to keep upgrading the roster? I mean, that's the bottom line. We talk about it all the time. Still need for a pass rush. Still need to bolster the right side of the offensive line. It says 4 months have passed since the Green Bay Packers picked him to be their 10th general manager. It's still early to say whether or not he has more Ron Wolf or Ted Thompson in him when it comes to roster building. He displayed some of the moxie that defined Wolf's tenure this offseason with a major trade, some free agency risk-taking, and the willingness to move up and down in the draft. Those moves started the pendulum swinging from the height of Ted Thompson conservatism to the Ron Wolf side of assertiveness. But the unknown to all of us is whether or not Gutekunst will allow it to advance further or just settle right in the middle. So, with what's been done so far, okay, and it's hard to say as far as grading it. People want to grade it all the time. Boy, he's got an A from me. Well, why? Okay, because they haven't even played a snap yet. You got to wait and see how things actually come together. But for what you've witnessed out of the new general manager, do you believe he has shaken off the moniker of being Ted Thompson's guy? Because I think what he's done, and I've got an opinion on this, is something a little bit different than I think that one many people had thought. But do you think Brian Gutekunst is more Ted Thompson or more Ron Wolf when it comes to his initial dealings as a general manager in the National Football League? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. That's on the Loans by Kip.com toll-free talk line. What do want to remind you that our good friends over at Cousin Subs, they want you to be a VIP. Here is your chance, my friends. Enter the Big Gig Giveaway from Cousin Subs and Summerfest. You know what that is? It's 11 concerts in 11 nights. It's at the American Family Insurance Amphitheater during Summerfest. It means 11 chances to win. And each VIP concert package includes a couple of tickets, a parking pass, gift cards, and a whole lot more. 11 people will win. Why not make one of them you? Enter daily at CousinSubs.com/Big Gig Giveaway to experience the best Summerfest ever. Cousin Subs, that where they believe in better, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Is the new Packers general manager, is he more Ron Wolf or more Ted Thompson? As the conversation spurs. the one way to tell which direction Gutekunst is headed. According to Tom Silverstein of the Journal Sentinel, will he continue to pursue roster improvement or just leave well enough alone? When Thompson was in charge, player acquisition was pretty much over once the draft concluded. There's examples of him adding a veteran here or there, but he never wanted to create an environment where the focus wasn't on the development of the players first in their first, second, or third years. Anytime you add a veteran, even a low-cost option, you're slowing down the clock on a younger player's advancement since coaches are more likely to favor more reliable older players. Coaches think about winning this week and, given their freedom, will act accordingly. Thompson never gave Coach Mike McCarthy and his staff the opportunity to make those decisions because he didn't add the veterans on a consistent basis. Gutekunst has had a chance to change that without really diluting the impact, so to speak. And he goes on to say that, let's face it, there's no way that the new GM's top three picks, cornerbacks Jair Alexander, Josh Jackson, and linebackers Oren Burks, aren't going to get every opportunity to play this upcoming season. Even when Wolf was signing veterans for, say, Mike Holmgren, he sat on the personnel meetings and made it known his top draft picks needed to play and needed to play right away. But be realistic with his draft. The cornerbacks are going to play because it's a position of major, major weakness. I think we can all agree on that. And Burks is going to play because he fills the critical specialty position. The three wide receivers Gutekunst selected, they're not going to have an impact because the rookie wide receivers hardly ever do, especially those that are taken in the fourth round and beyond, which is exactly where Jamon Moore, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Equanimeous Brown, St. Brown, all were selected. So it goes on from there to talk about what will or will not work and who will and will not play, and then the developmental process of this team. But is he more like, say, Ron Wolf, or is he more like Ted Thompson? And maybe the other question, or the furtherance of the question, could possibly be, has he done enough in your eyes to shake free from the Ted Thompson is still in that room, therefore still has a hold on the general manager position for the Green Bay Packers? 855-830-8648. Give us a shout, 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com, toll-free talk line. Let's go to the phone calls, talk to Mike in Greenfield. Mike, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well.
Bill, in reference to the question you asked, I think Gutekunst would be more a little of both, actually, because he's a little predictable and not predictable. And as far as everything coming to fruition, you got to wait till the season ends to make any evaluation on anything, because we haven't evaluated the full body of work of this team for the 2018 season. So in reference to your question, right at this point on paper, I say he's a combination of both. And other than that, I'm just hoping and wishing that, you know, the Packers have not been able to stay healthy. They have a streak of bad luck. We're going to find out the depth and all these key positions as the season progresses.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say, I'm just going to be realistically cautious and say he's a little of both.
All right. Appreciate it, Mike. Thanks for the phone call. Now, here's expounding upon what Mike had to say. I would agree that he's got a little of both. He did some cautionary things. You know, you stick to the process. Doesn't matter how many wide receivers you have. If that's the best available player on the board, you go after him. Okay? You try to find the bargains. You do what you can. On the other hand, I mean, he did make the deal to bring in DeShone Kizer. He did go out and get Wilkerson. Okay? He is aggressively pursuing the deal that's going to make Aaron Rodgers the highest paid and the richest paid player in all the NFL while still trying to do his best to protect the team. He did jettison a fan favorite. I mean, I'm sure he had some trepidation about it, but you do what you do. You got to get rid of a guy a year too early rather than a year too late. And he believes that he did that with Jordy Nelson. They believe that their offensive output is going to be fine and they're going to be fortified in that area. And he did try to address some needs along the way as well. But he did it in a way that they didn't have to go out and break the bank, and they did it in a way that they kind of stuck true to their developmental process. But what I believe he is going to end up doing is being more like Ron Wolf than Ted Thompson, and here's the reason why. When Ron Wolf and Ted Thompson took over their respective positions, they took it from bad seasons. Ron Wolf took over and let Lindy and Fonny go and brought in Mike Holmgren. Ted Thompson took over from Mike Sherman, had a 4-12 year, ended up firing him, bringing in Mike McCarthy, and then beginning to build something. They built foundations immediately. They grabbed cornerstones immediately. And then, obviously, the big signing of Reggie White, the bringing in of Brett Favre, and then things began to fall into place. And then as Ron Wolf's tenure went on and he saw Favre beginning to approach the backside of his career, he ended up stepping up his game a little bit, and obviously they had won some games together. I think you're going to have to do the same if you're Brian Gutekunst. And the reason why is you can't just stick with rebuild this team, stick with draft and develop, because you know that that window of opportunity is going to start closing. And if you just stick to your process, now you want to fortify your team with the process. Okay, make no mistake about it. You cannot get by without drafting and drafting well. You just can't. You can't survive in the NFL. But I think what he's going to have to do, he's going to have to look at areas of weakness and say, what can I afford? What can I do? And what can I do to bolster this? Because if you leave gaping holes to be exposed week in and week out on this team, while you've got a quarterback who should be able to lead you to a Super Bowl, but you don't do enough to fortify those holes to kind of fix some of the patchwork, some of the stuff that's gaping around him, then why have him? Why pay him that amount of money? Why do it? Otherwise, you know, just go ahead and cut him loose and then just start the rebuild now. So the decision would be you got to start fixing some of the holes, and you got to do that in free agency, and you got to be able to take a few chances. And you hope that all those chances pay off. And I agree with the caller that one of the biggest things about this team right now is that you're going to have some injuries. And where Gutekunst has to not only be good in finding a few starters, he's got to be good in finding depth if this team is going to thrive and survive in the NFL, because it's all about depth in the NFL. It's about good starters, but it's all about depth in the NFL. What do you think about Brian Gutekunst? Is he more like Ron Wolf or more like Ted Thompson? And do you believe Ted Thompson's fingerprints, his arms being wrapped around this organization, have finally been relinquished? 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648. We got more coming up right after this.
16 stations strong, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Don't get them girls loose, loose.
DJR.
Don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money,
Mr. Worldwide.
But I do, I do. You don't get them girls loose, loose. You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money, but I do, I do.
I say y'all having a good time out there.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. Hopefully you're enjoying the weather. We're going to have a nice stretch that rolls through the state here now. I think all the way through to Saturday. You get a few showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon on Saturday, but we're talking 70s for the most part, a little bit cooler near the lakeside communities, all the way up and down the border. And as you get inland, it's going to be nice. So get out and enjoy it. Walk, move, do something. Heck, I've biked almost 20 miles in the last 24 hours, so get out and enjoy it. This portion of the program, speaking of getting out and enjoying it, 2 weeks from tonight, we are back at it. It's Wisconsin State Fair time in the sense of the Budweiser Pavilion at the Wisconsin State Fairgrounds. It's Wednesday Night Live. It's back. The music series is back again this year. It's all brought to you by Bud Light. Cannot wait. Can't wait. And we're looking forward to it. Rebel Grace takes the stage on Wednesday night, May 30th. It's free to get in. Parking is $6. And just come out and enjoy it. It's always a fun time. A lot of fun. And it should be a really, really, really good season. The bands this year are fantastic. If you want more information, just give me a shout. Let me know. I can post some of the bands and some of the dates and such over on the Facebook fan page. I think I've done that already, but I can redo it. But a lot of fun coming up this year at the Wisconsin State Fair Park. We're going to have a great time at the Budweiser Pavilion, and it's all brought to you by Bud Light. Wednesday Night Live, brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Do you think Brian Gutekunst is more, say, Ron Wolfish or more Ted Thompson? And to take that a step further, do you believe that Ted Thompson's arms are still wrapped around this organization? 855-830-8648. That's on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. Our buddy Stephen Richfield writes, good day, guys. As far as Gutekunst, I feel that his first draft, at least on paper, is in his own style. a little bit of a traitor like Wolf and a little bit of Mr. Sizzle by being safe. What I like about what he did in the draft is you cannot coach size, speed, and athleticism. He also did the anti-sizzle by addressing needs and utilizing free agency to his advantage. So far, in my mind, Gutekunst era is off to a terrific start. Our buddy Brad that listens to us in Sturgeon Bay said, I think Green Bay's Gutekunst is right in the middle. I like the aggression that he's shown so far in free agency, and I like what he did in his first draft. Time will tell. Speaking of being aggressive in free agency, we had the Jason Witten story that came out yesterday that said Dez Bryant, it would be a really a great landing place, a win-win for him if he ended up in Green Bay. And it wasn't long after that. Was it Ian Rappaport, Joe, that ended up coming out and saying that the Packers were not interested in pursuing Dez Bryant? One of the two. It was either Schefter or Rappaport or something like that. They'd said that that's not something that's going to happen. So for those that got high, and I said at the time, I said, look, is he a necessity or a luxury? If you go get Dez Bryant, is that a necessity or a luxury? And I think with the three drafted wide receivers you garnered, I think it's almost a luxury, and it's probably something that's not even necessary. As a matter of fact, going back to the article of then stymieing the growth of some of the drafted guys, even though they're fourth, fifth, and sixth rounders, so to speak, I don't think that's probably in the best interest of the Green Bay Packers for what they just tried to do. I do like the fact that if you're thinking ahead, saying, okay, if Davante Adams should end up injured, then he would be your legitimate, that would be another veteran wideout that can carry the load and a go up and get an apex guy, okay, a point of attack guy. But you're also then eliminating, because you've already got eight wide receivers that you're looking hard at, probably nine, really, if you want to get down to Clark. And why would you then add another veteran to that mix that you know is going to make this team, which means you know if you keep six or seven, you're eliminating two, three guys right here, right now. So I didn't think that. I thought it was more of a pipe dream than anything, and now that you get kind of the rumor out that the Packers are not going to pursue that, it's that's kind of a reality. You kind of figured that was going to happen. 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. Let's see here. Is there any trade value for Hundley? If so, should it be pursued? There's really not. I mean, why? Put it this way. The fact that you want to trade him, why? He's not overly accurate. Doesn't have an enormous amount of arm strength. Has some athleticism, but didn't look great throwing the ball on the run. So for all the reasons you want to get rid of him, if I'm a prospective GM out there saying, okay, what am I going to give up for a guy that's really not that good or hasn't shown himself to be that good? I mean, in his second year under center, if he would go to a team where he was a starter, sure, he could probably develop into something. I just don't know what. And if I'm a general manager, I'm not giving up a third, fourth, or fifth round pick for him. That's it. This one's from Kevin, who said, it feels like Brian Gutekunst, a guy who has only been employed in the position for 5.5 months, he's not done with his first off season. And I think that's the sense that a lot of people get. You're waiting for cutdowns. You're waiting to find out what else is going to be available. As much as you want to say, okay, we're going to develop pass rush, you got to find a pass rusher. You got to find somebody that can help you right now, because pass rush takes a while to develop. It's a lot harder defensively as a rookie than it is offensively as a rookie. David tweets us, @Bill_Michael, says, sure hope Brian Gutekunst is more like Ron Wolf. Don't want anything close to Ted Thompson ever here again. Hopeful Gutekunst doesn't think his job job is over after the draft. Roster still needs to be improved. Keep fortifying the roster. We'll be disappointed if he doesn't. See, when you say I don't want anything like Ted Thompson ever here again, Ted did some good things. Ted kept the franchise viable, didn't put him in salary cap jail, was able to manage the money, was able to give him enough talent to get him to three NFC championship games, another one of which they should have been in a Super Bowl. I think we can all agree upon that. Gave Aaron Rodgers good weaponry. Now, granted, there was some missteps. I'm not gonna sit here and sugarcoat it, because there was some gaping holes. But I mean, ultimately, it wasn't like he handed the cupboard over to Brian Gutekunst and it was completely bare. Neil says, mark my words, Clay Matthews is going to have a Pro Bowl season this year. We don't need an edge rusher. We have two great edge rushers that were never used correctly. No one knows what kind of a talent we have on this defensive line because they've never been used as a unit. I disagree with that. They were never used as a unit because they're always banged up. If Clay Matthews has a Pro Bowl season, that's great. You'd hate to say it because of contract year, but usually that's what happens. You know, but Nick Perry had a terrific season in a contract year. But Nick Perry's been banged up his entire career. Whether they use him as a unit or they use him as an individual on the outside, rushing as an edge or whatever, it doesn't matter. He's still a guy that him and Clay are still guys that are prone to getting banged up. Hamstrings, hands, broken fingers. I mean, when you break a bone, you can't really train for that, you know? But with a guy like Clay, he's always had a problematic hamstring. It's just always been there. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. B.A. Vandermeus tweets us, at Bill underscore Michael says, aren't Dez and Jimmy Graham basically the same talent in Green Bay's offense, basically 50-50 guys who run three routes? I think Dez has more speed, but I agree with you in the sense that they can do the same thing, especially when you're talking about the high point of a ball. Yes, both guys can go get it, but let's be honest, you can never have too many of those guys, right? If you've got enough speed to get downfield, you've got enough diversity to get open and bring in whether it's a safety, whether it's a linebacker or a corner, depending on who's going to cover you, whatever the mismatch is then created, if you can still go out apex a guy and you have that ability, boy, it makes it easy for a quarterback because you're not trying to put a ball in a window anymore. You're just trying to put a ball higher than the opponent. That's it. So, if you've got three guys, all that are 4-5 speed, and you're using them all as wideouts or slots, right? Okay? Well, think about it for a minute. If you have all three of those guys running outs, somewhere a guy's matched up either on a safety or a linebacker. And if all you have to do is get the ball to them, if you don't have 6'2", 6'3 corners, and you're throwing at 5'10", 5'11 corners that don't jump nearly as high as the guy that's going out at 6'5", 6'6", and still has the ability to go up and get a ball, then that's I'll take that all damn day. I don't need guys that are going to be 4-3 speed when I got a guy that can go up and get an apex of ball. 855-830-8648. When we come back, we'll ask Burke Griffin. He's the sports director for WFRV-TV in Green Bay. From CBS 5, we'll ask him a lot of these same questions, what his thoughts are, and give us his thoughts as kind of the Packers have finished the draft. They brought in the rookies for the orientation. Now you put a cap on it. Now you get ready for the OTAs and you get ready for the mini camps, and we'll get his thoughts as to where the Green Bay Packers are. That is coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad to have you. Thanks so much, as always, for taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate it. Want to let you know that we have got our first cigar dinner of the season is coming up on June 7th, Thursday night, June 7th. It is 3 weeks from tomorrow. And I will tell you some details as to how to get tickets to that as the event is selling briskly, as they say. And it's always a great time. It's so much fun. We get a chance to kind of sit around, have a great dinner, have a couple of cigars. And even if you're not a cigar smoker, you can still participate. But we tell some stories and then just questions. What's on your mind? Whether it's sports in Wisconsin or well beyond the borders, we kind of go through the Q&A. And it's always, always, always fun. So I'll give you details as to how to get tickets on that coming up here shortly. Burke Griffin, sports director from WFRV-TV, CBS 5 in Green Bay. Now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Burke, how you been, buddy?
Good, man. You know, I have a buddy down in Milwaukee who went to one of your cigar deals and said it's like hanging in Bill Michaels' man cave. You just get to go to a bar, you get to have a few, hang out, talk sports all night. It's just a good time.
Well, that's great. Yeah, we've had a lot of them. I mean, they're a lot of fun. We did one at the Prohibition there in Green Bay. As a matter of fact, I did one with Gary Ellerson, and that was a blast. That was actually funny because they recorded it. And then they came to, and afterwards we didn't realize they were recording it. So there, we said, "Hey, this is like Vegas. There's some stuff you can't just air." So you know, we had to do a little creative editing to get a few things out of there. Now that the Packers have finished up their rookie orientation, give me your thoughts as to what Gutekunst has done, and we were asking the question: is he more like Ron Wolf or more like Ted Thompson? And I think there's a road that's being driven that's in between right now.
Well, I got to be honest. I didn't listen to much of the show. I had to get my workout in. Got to get in fight shape.
That's all right.
You know, so I would agree, and I would say this. I would say Booty so far has drafted like Ted, made moves like Ted in that part of the offseason, but he's been aggressive like Ron when it comes to the free agents. You know, Jimmy Graham, mm-hmm. Ron Wilkerson. I mean, these are two guys who are late in their careers who – when you think about it, I mean, Sean Jones, Keith Jackson, Ron never really wanted to invest long-term in any of these guys. Eugene Robinson, how huge was he playing alongside, you know, Leroy Butler just for that one season where he really changed the secondary. He shored up a lot of problems that they had in the middle of the field in that deep lower third. And Sean Jones was another guy on the defensive line. 2 years maybe in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Wilkerson, who knows what we'll get out of him. Jimmy Graham, he's, you know, working toward the tail end of his career, but still one of the top five tight ends and inside the 20. We've all seen how good he is. And I mean, he can't block worth much, but he's a difference maker. So I think Goody so far has drafted like Ted because that move in the first round, dropping four picks and stealing a first rounder from New Orleans was brilliant. And that's the kind of stuff, you know, Ted would drop back a few here and there and all of a sudden move up one. And then, you know, he did the same deal with Raji and Clay in that draft. So Ted was crafty in taking nine picks and turning them into 13 and then, you know, picking up something down the road that was unexpected for Green Bay that was stealing the Saints first rounder.
How many holes do they still have that are glaring?
You know, glaring, they didn't address the effort of pass rush. I think and I hope that they move Clay to the inside and we get to see what he did a couple years ago by necessity due to injury. And I think he's just going to be better off there. You know, when it's third and long, I mean, Pettine can dial up any defense that he wants. I'm really intrigued, and not just because his last name is Burks, but this Oren Burks off the edge. I mean, he's such a tweener type. Played safety, played defensive back, played outside linebacker, 240-ish. He gains 10 pounds. You got him. If Nick Perry stays healthy, hopefully Vince Beagle takes that next step forward. I mean, you could have an interesting mix of guys getting their quarterback. I think that's the glaring hole on the defensive side of the football. And then I guess that wide receiver, what do they do? There's this talk of Dez. Anything new happen yet today?
No. As a matter of fact, you had Ian Rappaport reporting that they were not going to go after Dez Bryant.
Okay. Well, the last thing I saw was that he had turned down the Ravens or something like that, and then he was going to visit with somebody else. If you're going to go get Dez, why didn't just keep Jordy? You know, that right. To me doesn't make sense. I mean, two guys, very similar careers, 3, 4, 5, good seasons, 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns plus. And Jordy knows the system. He's obviously comfortable. And do you want another headache and distraction like Martellus? I mean, they must really like those three rookies, or they think Geronimo Allison is going to take that next step forward. Because clearly they've made Devontae Adams the alpha dog. When you pay a guy that much money, and you really want a guy like Dez coming in and disrupting what – this is Devontae's team now at that position group. I don't think they have any problems with that offensive line. I mean, I think Belaga comes back. You got Spriggs, you got Murphy, you know what you got with Corey Linsley and Lane Taylor. And look, McCray and Patrick played well on the O line. You may want to try, we'll see if one of these third tight ends pans up, but between Graham and Kendricks, I think you're good to go. Running back, you're solid.
Well, my other question, when you talk about Devontae Adams making him the alpha dog, the only concern I have, and I believe he can be a terrific wide receiver for years to come, but I do have to question whether or not his durability is going to be there. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's taken vicious hits to give him a concussion, but he's had three concussions in 2 years. He's one hard hit away from not playing for a very long time, and then you're out of veterans all of a sudden. Then you're looking to Jimmy Graham to be your veteran wideout. That would be the only reason I would say that a Dez Bryant would make sense.
Yeah, well, And if you kick the tires on that, then that's the attitude you have to go with. And then you're thinking to yourself, well, then why'd you pay Devontae all that money? That would be my question.
Right.
If there's any chance that you feel he could be that one hit away guy, because it is all it takes in this league. I mean, we saw it with Jermichael Finley, different injury than a concussion, but still a neck, head, you know, career ender type thing. We know how tough Devontae is. He's definitely taking that next step forward. But yeah, if you're sitting there with Cobb, Geronimo, and Trevor Davis as your three wide receivers, I'm sure Rodgers is going to be looking around going, hey, why isn't Jordy Nelson here?
Yep. Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, or even Dez, you know what I mean? Yeah,
right.
I agree with you there. I just feel like they must know something more that, you know, Devontae's things were one game wonders that, you know, they did shut him down though at the end of last season. They didn't stick him back out there, which again, you know, it's much easier. I don't care what the science says. We all know it's much easier to get one the next time around.
Yep. Yep, no doubt about it. Offensive line-wise, with Bulaga, Spriggs, both coming back from knee injuries, they must know something there because they didn't really heavily address that right tackle position. They fortified their line a little bit, but I don't necessarily think that they've got a right tackle that's sitting there waiting, going, okay, this is the next coming. So are you nervous about the way this offensive line sets up right now on the right side?
No, not particularly. I think Spriggs is the guy who comes off as the more athletic one. Murphy's more of the grinder. But at right tackle, that's okay. I mean, you can have those kind of players as backups. I think it's by committee right now. Whoever stays the healthiest, whoever looks the best at the end of August before Labor Day weekend gets the job, whether it's Bulaga, Spriggs, or Murphy.
And then you had mentioned pass rush, and you talked a little bit about Clay, but how good do you feel about the rotation up front? I mean, I look at it as if Montrevious Adams comes back and he is the guy that he was projected to be, holy mackerel, do you have a really strong defensive front with Daniels and Kenny Clark and Mo Wilkerson and Montrevious Adams, and that will then allow Nick Perry to become Nick Perry 2.0.
Well, and not only that, I mean, you had a guy, I mean, Gene Lowry contributed. But, I mean, if Tetton can tap into what Wilkerson had, and now he had the last 2 years, but what he had when he was his main guy, his defensive coordinator, That really, I think, becomes your difference maker. Because Clark has Wilkerson across the front three. If you're still going to play a standard 3-4, I don't know if you can find many better. I mean, Minnesota and Philly, which were the two best teams in the NFC, they'll be right in that same category. And then you can really cut Beagle, Burks, Perry, and even Clay loose on some of those, you know, third and long situations.
Were you surprised they took a punter and a long snapper?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
everybody was.
You know, I guess if you're getting the next Ray guy and you really, truly feel that the kid from Alabama is your guy, you get J.K. Scott. But I just, a long snapper, too, that just boggles my mind why you would waste a draft pick on that. I mean, because, look, those guys can get the yips. And I don't care if he was the best one in college. All it takes is one bad snap, and they are – done. And if you got a guy, he's got an injury history too. So what is the difference between him and Brett Goode? I'd rather have an old guy with an injury history who's been consistent, never botched a snap, than a rookie who's got an injury history. And what are we talking here? The difference between 500 and a million?
Right.
I mean, when you get to the 8, 9, 10 year veterans minimum salary, we're not talking. When you're throwing words like 30 million per year around for Aaron Rodgers, $500,000 is nothing to this organization.
Talking with Burke Griffin, sports director for WFRV-TV, CBS5 in Green Bay, and you just mentioned the other thing that I've been talking about quite a bit, and that is Aaron Rodgers and the contract. And look, he always has pressure. He always feels the need to win. He always tries to excel. I'm not ever questioning whether or not he can handle that pressure, but when you begin to then look and say, and he's done this, where, hey, I don't want to see them get rid of this guy. I want him to retain this guy. I want him to do that. And you look in the mirror, and you're the guy that's eating up almost 20% of your team's total salary cap.
Right.
I think he kind of loses that right a little bit if it indeed is all about him being the highest. Even though he said it wasn't, it certainly seems like all the indicators are that he's going to be the highest paid player, and that's the way everybody wants it to be.
I would say this. There's a reason Tom Brady has as many Super Bowl rings as he does. How much is enough? I mean, between the commercial deals and, I mean, he's set for life. Just like Brett Favre is set for life, each one of those guys is set for life. And you're right. It's not my money that we're talking about here or yours or any. But on the same scale, can't be a team player and expect to win if you're going to command that much money. And let's be honest here. Two different collarbone injuries that have ended his season. He's another guy separate of Devontae and the concussion issue. I mean, he had issues with his calf and his knee and his broken foot. He's also not a spring chicken. If you invest that much money in Nelson, you have to take a huge cap hit. It could set the franchise back 5 years, not three. It could set him back 5 years. Mm-hmm. I would say if you're going to do it, 3 years, $100 million, be done with it. Or do 2 years, $65 million, or whatever it may be. But do not invest long term. It just it doesn't make sense for the overall health of the franchise.
Yeah,
I'm totally on that page.
Yeah, I know they want to keep him happy, and I know they want him to be, you know, content and wanting to retire a Packer and all that kind of stuff. But I think also you have to wrap your arms around the organization and say, okay, what's best for the organization too, and the long term health of this thing. So,
I think he doesn't have to look very far. Does he really want to go through the same thing that Brett did? You know what I mean?
Right. Well, that's what's so amazing about it is that he, and that's the reason he does his press conference at his locker, because he wants to be the anti-Brett.
Well, that was that's the way it's been from day one. But anybody who's been around here long enough has known and seen the progression from day one to the big time to the MVPs to later on to how they treat everybody.
Yep.
And if you really want to be that guy and separate yourself from a guy like him, this would be the perfect opportunity to do it.
Yep, no doubt.
Don't go for the big money. Go for the team win first attitude. Maybe get that second ring, and then people don't have to really debate anymore. They can say to themselves, "Well, who won more Super Bowls?"
Yep.
You know?
No doubt.
That's my thought on it.
Good stuff, man. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
As always, big dude, take care, fellas.
Thanks, buddy. Talk to you. There you go. Burke Griffin, sports director for WFRV-TV, CBS 5 in Green Bay, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they begin to get done. Call them. 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE or schneiderjobs.com. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little Brewers baseball, get to the top of the hour, and also talk some Brewers baseball. And can they get to the postseason without... And I'll fill in the blank coming up shortly. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. Thanks to Burke Griffin for coming on with us and spending a couple of minutes with us. I had told you going into that particular segment that we have the cigar dinner coming up from Tobacco Outlet Plus and Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery and Perdomo Cigars. Coming up Thursday night, June 7th, the Wisconsin Brewing Company, 1079 American Way. That's in Verona. Heading to Madison. If you want to get tickets, they're available at Tobacco Outlet Plus on North Sherman Avenue in Madison, Willow Road in Wanakee, and also the Quick Trip on County Road PB in Verona. So the Tobacco Outlet Plus on North Sherman Avenue in Madison, Willow Road in Wanakee, and then the Quick Trip at County Road PB in Verona. And with your ticket, you get a couple of free cocktails, dinner, obviously, four free cigars. Dinner is going to be catered by Wood Barbecue. We're going to have raffles. And they do so much when it comes to raffles. Almost everybody walks away with something. And it's so much fun. It's a great night out. It's Thursday night, June 7th, the Wisconsin Brewing Company. Stop into those locations and get your tickets, as they are selling at a brisk pace, from what I'm told. Brisk. And that is, again, brought to you by our friends at Quick Trip and Tobacco Outlet Plus. Coming up the next hour, we're going to talk about this Brewers team. And I want you to fill in the blank here. Yay or nay, can the Milwaukee Brewers make it to the postseason without a consistently healthy Ryan Braun? As Ryan Braun has, I don't know if I want to say morphed into a shell of what he once was. I don't know if that's fair. But just struggling. I mean, it's interesting because for all the different talent they have in this squad, I don't know if you've seen, I mean, you go to their webpage, okay, and Ryan Braun is usually on the front of it. You watch a lot of their television commercials and such, and there's Ryan Braun front and center. He's still part of the face of the franchise.
But right now, hitting 222 with a 681 OPS. He's had the stiff back. We talked to Adam McAlvey about it yesterday and said, hey, is this something that's been ailing him all season long? And he doesn't think so. He think it just flared up. Well, if that's the case, the last 15 games that Ryan Braun has played in, he's hitting 160 with a 260 slugging percentage. I mean, 160 with a 260 slugging percentage. I mean, just not getting it done. The last seven games, the last week, week and a couple of days, he's hitting 120. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. Can this team get to the postseason with an unhealthy Ryan Braun? We'll get into that discussion coming up. And what is this team's at the quarter turn. And I talked about this last night. I want to give you both sides of this. And then I want you to make the determination as to where this thing's going to end up before it's all said and done. Because when we talk about postseason, is that it? Are we on the precipice of that? We'll get into that discussion coming up here as well. Stay tuned. This is the Bill Michaels Show, Radio Joe across the way. If you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, it's @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels, or @RadioJoeSports. You can track us down on the Facebook fan page as well. Just look for the blue verified check mark. Everything is at BillMichaelsSports.com. That's BillMichaelsSports.com. And do not forget, you can also download the Radio.com app, and you can listen to us there. Can the Brewers get to the postseason with an unhealthy Ryan Braun? And at the quarter turn, I'll tell you where this team is. You tell me what you think. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.